Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to say. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
Woo! LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I gotta lower my Twitter because it's blowing up tonight here, because we've got a fun show for you tonight. Psychic extraordinaire is not going to be here. So I'm letting you all know right now, please do not call into the show for a reading, because there will not be one. So if you want to get read, then call in. But if you want a reading, wait until another show. We're gonna have fun tonight. There's a lot going on here on Max and Friends, so we're gonna indulge. Let's just talk about that for a quick moment. We are gonna indulge tonight. Let's just draw out that word, because it's a new delicious little desserts that keep life real sweet cookbook that my guest Kathy Wakeli from the Real Housewives of New Jersey is going to do. I'm so operatic tonight, and I'm going to tell you why. Because today would have been my father's, I think, 87th birthday. It's really been that long since he's passed away, I think like 27 years. And my mother and I were up in Connecticut. You know, we do the whole Italian thing with the mausoleum and the flowers, and basically like there's a whole parade without the instruments. So that was yesterday. And my mother, she's like standing in front of the wailing wall and crying. She's been a widow forever. So it's like my heart broke for her, because I know that my father's like, you know, when people die, that's a blessing, because you know they're watching over you and they don't have to go through all this bullshit that we go through in life. So that was like the blessing there. But my heart just ached for my mother, watching her like at her husband's grave. But we're not going to get all, you know, sad about that, because there's a beautiful saying that I always say, and it's, every time you say my name, my spirit shall live. So Mario Carlo Tucci, I know your spirit lives. And what I want to do real quick is play one of the songs that he always used to sing in our home in Florence, Italy, which is from a friend of the family. Bless him too, he's no longer here. But the voice that will resonate. And I just find it good, like, you know, we're going with the whole Italian theme tonight. So on that note, the song Non ti scordar di me from Pavarotti, I give to my father, Mario Carlo Tucci. May your name always be said on my lips, so that your spirit may always live. Non ti scordar di me. By Pavarotti. And when we're back, we're going to indulge. Hit it.
Paese freddo e senza sole, cercando primavere di viola, mi di d'amore di felicità, la mia piccola rondine paradì, senza lasciarmi un bacio, senza un addio partì. Non ti scordar di me, di me,
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I am your host, Max Tucci. Yes, that was Non Ti Scordare Di Me by Pavarotti for my father, Mario Carlo Tucci. So, on that note, if you want to know more about my father's incredible life, and of course, the restaurant Oscar's Del Monaco, which my grandfather originated in 1927, buy the book that Al Roker did, and friends. I'm in it. I write my story about my life with my father. It's called Big Shoes in Celebrations of Dads and Fatherhood. You can get it now on Amazon.com. Al Roker's book, Big Shoes. Hey, let's hit Hot Topics.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls. Pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
You know we're going to drop it on Max and Friends. We got one hot topic tonight that I just love. Hillary Clinton has become a grandmother. Chelsea Clinton has given birth to a little daughter. And all I'm going to say is, yes, you can be a grandmother and run the White House. I've always said America we call the motherland, so she needs a mother this time around. On that note, we're going to hit the theme song that you're all waiting for because my next guest coming up is Kathy. So hit it. Boom. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. How you doing,
Max?
Oh,
it's a pleasure. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm doing great. It's, you know, it's one of those
days.
Sunday.
Italian, you know, Sunday dinner, you know, the whole bit. And I love that song you played before. What a beautiful song, a tribute to your dad. And what a great way to start the show off.
It is a fun way with some opera, mm-hmm. and then we're going to talk about some food. Now, talking about that theme song we just played, do you get sick and tired of hearing it? Is it your ringtone?
No, not at all. No, I don't get sick of hearing it. It's always good. It's, you know, it's a theme song that's happening of our lives, you know?
You know, it's funny. Do you, like, catch yourself humming the theme song sometimes?
No, I don't, actually. Not at all. I had to listen closely because I didn't... I hear it so often, it's almost something that I don't pay attention to.
Right.
You know, like, it's like something that you just hear all the time and you don't really even notice it anymore, you know?
Well, what we do notice is your book, Indulge. And I just can't wait to, like, literally dive into this book and eat it all up. All 75 delectable sweet treats.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's my favorite part of a meal.
That, you know what? That is my favorite part of the meal, too. And we just had a favorite part. You know, it's like I had the whole Haagen-Dazs tonight because I got to get your book. That's what it comes down to, because I would totally make everything in here because the cover itself makes me want to eat all of those little desserts. So what inspired you to do Indulge?
Well, you know, my thing is I've always had a sweet tooth, and it's oddly enough that you started off the show about your dad in a tribute to your father. Well, that's something that I'd shared with my beloved dad, is our love of sweets. And so a lot of these recipes, remind me of my dad, and a lot of these recipes are things that, we shared in common, like certain things that were his favorites, and his memory is very alive in this book. So much so. As a matter of fact, one of my recipes, for Italian ice or granita, a lemon granita, he loved that so much, and to watch him slurp it up, as a grown man, it was something that I would see him slurping up and think, oh my God, my dad is slurping this up and he's like a kid and like this powerful head of the family, and all of a sudden you see him enjoying such a simple treat like a granita or an Italian ice, and it makes you feel like, oh well, you were a kid too once, look at that, you know? And so there's a lot of things in the book and that remind me of my dad, so it's nice that you started the show off the same way.
Beautiful.
My concept and my idea for desserts is that we want dessert. It's not something we want to skimp out on. And we want it to be good. We want it to be good. We don't want it to be low fat. We don't want it to be low cal. We don't want it to be low taste. We want it to be everything that dessert is supposed to be. But you know what? That's not realistic. We work hard. We take care of our bodies. We take care of our health. But, you know, there has to be some kind of balance in there. So instead of cutting out the taste, cutting out the butter, or cutting out the sugar, what I do is I cut the size. So
that's
I encourage people to, exactly, to indulge just a little bit. And that way you don't feel guilty, you don't feel like you've overdid it, and you don't feel like you're sacrificing either. So making everything small and mini, you deliver that pack full of flavor, taste, decadence, but just in two small bites, and you're satisfied. And you could feel like, okay, I had my dessert, I'm good. You know, it's just a sweet, it's a sweet tooth. It's not the whole mouth. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth. It's the sweet tooth that won't lead you to dentures.
Exactly. You just have to fill the tooth, not the whole mouth, you know? So we don't want you to like overindulge, you know? So that's my whole idea.
Well, you know, you have like this amazing culinary vibe with you because you're an honorary professor and ambassador chef. So tell us a little bit about this whole wonderful title that you have.
Well, I've been lucky enough. I've never had any formal training, you know, growing up or gone to culinary school, but I've had this very, very fortunate experience to pick. You know, team together with L'Ecole Culinaire, which is a cooking academy out in the Midwest. They have three locations, one in Kansas City, one in Memphis, and one in St. Louis. And I've been able to take some courses and become, you know, very involved with the school. And I've also been able to tutor the kids and, you know, go in as a guest speaker and talk to the students, not kids, I should say, to the students and enrolling, you know, chefs to talk to them about starting their own product line and what it was like for me as someone starting a business from the ground up and not knowing anything about
dessert
business.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that because people are tuning in and it's always great to inspire people. And, you know, they see you on television and they think, oh, Kathy's, you know, even though it's a reality show, they just see you and have a perception that everything is given to you. So let's talk about the hard work on how to start this business, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. So tell us how it worked for you.
Well, for me, it started, I didn't come on the show and say, oh, I'm going to be the new dessert queen. I'm going to be, that's not what happened. What happened was I was doing things that I do in my everyday life and the way I go about things. And I spend, you know, after a while, I think that none of the viewers thought I had any other room in my house besides the kitchen because that's all where all the scenes were shot because that's where I spend most of my time. And so the viewers really responded to my love for cooking and especially my love for desserts. So they started to encourage me, well, I need that recipe. I need this recipe. I need that recipe. And where can I get your desserts? I need to get your desserts. And that's what brought me and inspired me to and motivated me to take my hobby that I do for my family, friends, and relatives and, you know, just something that I love to do and turn it into something that could potentially make me money. And so, a new profession. It was always a creative outlet for me. And so for me to do, my father always said, you know, find what you love to do and then figure out how to make a living doing it. And this was a way for me to do this, and I was encouraged by the viewers, really. And so when I did set out to do this, you know, there are a lot of opportunities, certainly, that come with doing a reality show. And then all of a sudden, you know, people are coming at you. They want to sponsor you. They want to do this. They want to do that. We want to get into business with you or what have you. But I didn't want to sign my name to a product that wasn't mine or that I didn't believe in. So everything that you've seen me with any kind of food or anything like that you see me associated with, I actually make myself because I can't lie. And I can't feel 100% comfortable feeling like I'm representing something that isn't really me. So I did start out.
So what really
is
you?
A process.
Idyllically, what is you? Define you. Because I think that's important so that people understand who you are and why you've chosen to do what you do.
I'm a creative homebody. I love, you know, my family, and I love doing, I love meeting new people. I was a hairdresser for 30 years before, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. And I love meeting people, and I love getting to know them and stories, and with that I take something from each person I meet, and it inspires me to do something different and something new. And I think that we could learn from everyone. And so being a hairdresser is a creative outlet. At one time I wanted to be an artist. I paint, I do things around the house, you know, I put tile down, I do it all, I garden. But the cooking part was something that, you know, out of necessity was born, and then I took it to another level. So when I started to cook and I started to make desserts, I found that it was such a great release for me and great therapy, and people really responded to it. And I saw the joy that I could bring to other people so simply. By doing something that I love, I brought joy to someone else. And that's where the whole dessert business came in, because if I could do that easily with and enjoy it so much and, you know, make a profit out of it, you know, why not do that? Because it's not work then. Because, you know, when you're doing something you love, it's really not work.
That's the truth.
So that's how I started the business. Yeah.
It's your heart virtue.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just started, I just started, you know, with the business. And, you know, my husband always kept me, when we decided to go, you know, on this venture, my husband kept me focused, because I'll just go creative and I'll just do things just because I want to do it. And he had to keep rope me in and say, okay, are we doing this as a hobby or are we doing this as a business? If you want to do it as a hobby, then go sell it at the church, you know,
right.
Go give it away. Go. That's fine with me. But if you want to call this a business, then let's start getting our business hat on and let's start talking dollars and cents, and let's not make something that's fun into something that's going to be difficult or potentially set us back. So
you know,
we start out very small.
Yeah, and you had someone to support you. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So if you're all tuning in tonight,
yes.
You're like, Kathy, that's wonderful, but I don't have anyone to support me. Y'all do.
Right.
You might not know who they are,
right.
But ask a friend to support you and, you know, get a good
exactly.
support group. But, you know, now you
exactly.
have a
and
national bestseller. So that's a
yeah,
point at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is, pinched me. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. Because for me, just to write my recipes down, because, again, with being a creative person, I just do things on the whim. And a lot of times I don't document what I did.
Yeah.
And then, oh, well, how did I do that? Oh, I don't remember, but let me try it again and I'll do it again and I'll figure it out as I go along. Well, if you want to teach someone, you have to document, because you can't just tell them to figure it out. You know, then they'll never want to do anything you tell them to do. So for me, this was a big accomplishment just to have them written, my recipes written down and develop them and make sure that they work. It was a long time, you know, the process was a long time coming. It took me over a year.
Oh, yeah.
And to have it published is so wonderful. And then, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. People think that, oh, the cookbooks are so easy. But when you actually have to sit down, and what people don't realize, too, is that all of these recipes have to be tested and approved by you. So it's not just like, okay, I'm just going to say, put my name on this book, and here's my delicious white chocolate blondie bites or my almond joys.
Yeah.
Cheesecake cuties, which are all in the book, by the way, and the apple ricotta zeppelin and the pumpkin ginger sticky buns. I can't take it.
Yeah.
I need some now.
There was a lot of testing going on in this house, let me tell you.
Well,
I mean,
want to talk about these recipes, because you're going to give us a good recipe right now for people who are listening, because what's great is Max and Friends goes into archive. So if you feel like you missed the recipe, go to latalkradio.com /Max. Kathy's going to give us a recipe now. So what's that recipe?
Well, I think one of my favorites for right now, because it's in season, are the caramel apple ravioli. I mean, it's taken an all-American traditional apple pie, apple, that concept, and making it into a ravioli. So, and it's not fried, it's not boiled, it's a baked, it's just a pocket like a ravioli is, and it's shaped like a ravioli, but it's basically in a pastry dough, and I have ricotta in cream cheese mixture with walnuts and brown sugar in the inside layer, along with some apples that are cooked down a bit and then covered and then drizzled with a caramel sauce and dusted with some walnuts. And they are just to die for. They're wonderful. And they're bite-sized.
I'm salivating. I'm like, I need something.
Yeah.
But that's the key word. Everyone listening tonight, they're bite-sized. And, you know, they're ravioli.
Yeah.
So you don't have to make, like, a whole lasagna.
Yeah.
Just make it bite-sized.
Exactly. And the great thing about it is they are made, like, the recipe calls for, like, almost like batches. So, like cookies. So you don't have to eat them all at once. It's like, it's not a pie that you cut into and then it looks horrible. It's they're each individually beautifully presented little bite-sized treats, and you can make the whole recipe and freeze half or save half or share half, because after all, sharing is caring, you know? And so why do you want to eat? Yeah, nobody wants to eat dessert alone, so share.
No. And you know what, between, like, it's the Jewish holidays now, then before we know it, Thanksgiving's here. And so make,
exactly,
like, an extra 20 and bring them to your neighbors, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, you know, they just want to know your neighbors. It's not that bad of an idea.
Exactly.
But the book is great.
Exactly, share a little
family,
bit.
Yeah, share a lot of it. Now, you have
mm-hmm.
your family stories in this book, and you just peppered
mm-hmm.
through it with some backstage glimpses into the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Right.
Indulge is the perfect treat for your fans. We love Indulge.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, thank you.
Did you ever think that being a hairdresser all those years, the next thing you know, your life would be featured on Bravo. The next thing you know, you are titled a national best-selling author. You have a book with 75 delectable, delicious, sweet treats. And now, like, you're on a book tour. Was that ever in your consciousness?
No, it never was. It never, like, you know, I never thought that anything like this would be possible. I think that the best thing, the best advice or the best words that I could ever tell anybody is just believe in yourself. And, you know, don't ever sell yourself short. Believe in what your dreams are, because your dreams are valid, and, you know, and what your dreams are today may not necessarily be what they are tomorrow. After those dreams are fulfilled, there's bigger ones. And don't ever stop.
Yeah.
Don't ever stop
dreaming. I always say dream bigger.
Exactly.
And, you know, when was it? A couple weeks ago, because I have my TV show down here in South Florida called Eye on the People.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed, mm-hmm. remember our girl, wish I was your lover, Sophie B. Hawkins. And we were And I said, Sophie, you know, we were talking about life path, and I love it because Sophie goes,
mm-hmm.
we are our own teachers, because only we will go through what we go through. So if we're following someone else, we're not living our life path. So would you say that resonates with you? You're your own teacher?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And
what's been your biggest lesson? What's been your biggest lesson so far in life?
My biggest lesson has to be, you know, as a young girl, you have these dreams and expectations and these goals. And then sometimes while you're raising your family, you put aside your goals and you put aside your dreams because your family's needs come first. And then after you're in the thick of things and you're with your family and the rewards are so great and you're seeing your children flourish and prosper and do really, really well and your family is really coming together, you look back and you think to yourself, you know, I'm actually living my dream without even realizing it. You know, if you step back and stop looking at what other people are doing and take a look at your own life, chances are you're living your dream and you don't even realize it, because so many people put so much emphasis on what other people are doing when they really need to look inside and look at what they really have and concentrate on what they really are enjoying on a daily basis instead of looking at what they don't have. And so I think that's the biggest lesson.
That's so beautiful.
That I've learned.
Such a beautiful reminder. No, it's a great reminder, because
mm-hmm.
we do. You know, it's like everyone, take some time to smell the roses, but take some time
mm-hmm.
to look in the mirror and realize that where you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's tuning in to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Kathy's here from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Speaking of family, we've been getting tweets. People are tweeting away and they want to know, how's Rosie? Because the show tonight, they're so concerned about Rosie and Ellen. How's Rosie?
Rosie's doing fantastic. Fantastic. You know, Rosie has found love. I'm going to share that with you.
Ooh, all right.
yeah, with the most important person. With the most important person. She's
herself.
Learned to love herself.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah. And when that happens, everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's doing fantastic. She looks great. She's in the best health that she's ever been in. She's her own personal goals are coming to fruition, and she's just really doing well and happy, and seeing things, and things are happening. Really great things are happening for her.
That's beautiful. Now, how's Mama Maria?
Yeah. she's just amazing. She's a jewel, and we're just so lucky to have her. She is. I learn from her every single day.
What's one of the most precious lessons you've learned from Mama Maria?
I think from my mom is just to listen to your children. Pay attention to the little things and listen to the little things that they want to tell you, because one day you'll realize that those little things were big things.
And sometimes we'll realize that while those little things are happening, we have to tune in, because those little things can mean something big. And what I'm talking about is your whole health scare with Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's something that mm-hmm. we definitely need to talk about, because a lot of parents are going through this. They don't know what's wrong with their children. And what we're talking mm-hmm. about are brain tumors. And I've got to mm-hmm. tell you right off the bat, because a lot of you already know Kathy's story, but one of my dear friends, Trevor Ewing, who we were growing mm-hmm. up together, young, went in for headaches, random headaches, ended up having a brain tumor and died at the age of 16.
Mm.
The point of the story
sad.
Yeah, no, you know, but his legacy is beautiful, because what happened with Trevor was, he was going to the Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx, and my mom would always mm-hmm. be going there. And my mom from Greenwich, Connecticut, you know, married to my mm-hmm. father, was like, we mm-hmm. need to get a better waiting room for this hospital. That waiting room turned into the Montefiore Children's Hospital.
Oh, so, beautiful. Wow.
You know, so now,
that's
and
wonderful.
That has one of the most
yeah.
intense brain tumor and stroke research developments there.
Mm-hmm.
But your organization is the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation that you work with, CBTF.org.
Yes.
Tell us how you knew something was wrong with Victoria.
Well, the first onset was when she was 10 years old, and we were on vacation, and she fainted. She had been getting headaches, but they were on and off again, and, you know, the doctor pretty much dismissed them as something maybe sinus-related or allergies or something like that, because they weren't constant. She never showed any of the indication or anything like that. And then we were on the beach in Florida, our first day of vacation, and she fainted. And when she came to, she vomited. And that's kind of a lot of times a sign that there's something neurological going on. I noticed that and I didn't know that at the time, but I just thought maybe she had eaten something wrong, but it was her first day on vacation. And I said, you know what, I'm not even going to take a chance. Let's just take her to the local hospital, get her checked out. And I never dreamed the diagnosis that they gave me. They found through a CAT scan, that which was angels looking over us, because there was no protocol for doing a CAT scan, but the doctor just for some reason decided to do it, and she found a tumor the size of a tennis ball. Mm. And they quickly wanted to remove it, and we flew back home, had it removed from the chief of pediatric neurosurgery at Columbia Presbyterian, and he's just wonderful, amazing man, Dr. Neil Feldstein. And he removed the tumor. It was benign. She recovered amazingly well, and she just went back to school. And it was something that we were blessed. It was a miracle, really, because a lot of children are not that fortunate. And the reason why is because a lot of times they go misdiagnosed. They don't
exactly.
pay attention to these signs. And the children can't really verbalize what they're feeling because they don't understand it. And so by the time that they are diagnosed and that they are found, they've already progressed too far. And so that's the unfortunate thing. Yeah. And then she was doing really well and feeling great. She's 20 years old now. Flash forward 10 years later, she's in college, in her second year of college, and she's taking courses. She wants to be a nurse because she wants to give back. And she wants to be that healing and comforting person for someone else. And she's not able to focus. And she just says, "Mom, I just feel off." She goes, "I think it's time for a checkup." I said, "Okay, sure. Let's make the appointment. We'll go see the doctor." She went in for the checkup and MRI, and a small portion of the tumor had regrown back. And it wasn't expected, but sometimes these things happen. Again, it was benign, but it was cutting off some circulation and some allowing the brain fluid to pass comfortably, and so it was making a blockage. So she had to go back in and have the same brain surgery all over again. Oddly enough, during her 10-year, the day of her 10-year anniversary, we spent it with the same doctor at the same hospital, and she recovered. She went through the surgery, went really well. She recovered remarkably well and was home within 4 days, went back to school, and she's doing so well. Really, we're blessed. But it has made us want to get involved with the CBTF, the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, and other brain tumor organizations like the National Brain Tumor Society as well, to help raise awareness and be there and let people know that you can recover from things like this, but early detection, you need to listen to your kids, and the parents have to be the strongest advocate for their children.
I was just going to ask you, Kathy, where do you find your strength?
Where do I find my strength? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm often asked that, how did I do it? How did I get through this? And I said, no, I knew that I was doing all the right things. I was taking her to the right doctors. I had her in the best hospital. And then after that, I prayed. And oftentimes they ask, well, how did you get through it? And I said, I didn't get through it. God carried me through the whole way. Because when you're doing all the right things for your child, and you're trying, you're asking all the right questions, you keep asking, and you keep pursuing, more and more questions and answers and all that. After a certain point, you have to surrender. It was the power of prayer and just ask, God for his help, and he delivers, he listens, and have faith that you're in this place in your life for a reason. Pay attention and, ask for God's help, because, things don't happen by chance. They happen for a reason. You were placed in this path for a reason. So I think you have to really pay attention to the signs and listen.
It's so beautiful. The key word to me that you said there is surrender, because I say that all the time on Max and Friends. Mm-hmm. The moment we surrender, and I'm not talking people about like a surrender where you go inside your cave and surrender with your arms open and just tell the universe, the divine, whatever you want to call God, I surrender and I'm ready to receive what's meant for me, and I'm willing to do the work. We've got to do our
work. Like I said,
work.
Speaking of work,
you are doing so much work. You have your Goddess Eye jewelry line, which gives a portion of sales to the National Brain Tumor Society and the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation. Tell us where people can find your jewelry.
Well, right now my website is going through some changes, but it will be up on my website, KathyWakili.com, shortly. That we're working on rearranging and restructuring the site, and so it will be available on my website very soon. Yes,
and a portion of the sales go to the foundation, so that's always a good, always a good thing to give back. When we give back, it's like karma. It's just so beautiful.
Absolutely. We have an obligation. We have an obligation to, you know, we are blessed, and we should feel that we need to do something in return for it.
Now, before we move on, how is your husband and your son? Because we're getting
to
asked about her husband and son, Rich and Joseph.
They are great. They are really good. Joseph is actually in his first year of college. He's grown quite a bit since people have seen him last. He's in his first year of college, and he's a bio major. Hopefully to do something in the medical profession, either physical therapy or chiropractic or something like that. He'll figure it out.
Because
you know what? They want to feel like they could help people at the same time, and, you know, and do something constructive and productive with their lives, you know? So that's their path right now. Yeah. And Rich is doing fantastic. He's keeping busy. He's been so supportive. He comes with me to every book signing, all along my Indulge book tour. He's rearranged his schedule to be there for me. You know, we made a promise to one another that, you know, while I was raising the kids, he would do everything he needed to do outside the home to follow his dream and his passion. And now the tables have changed a little bit, and so he's there to support me, and it's really wonderful. It's you know, we're not only partners in our business, we're partners in life, and we go through everything together. And he's been such a great help with building our new house. We're building a house, and he's been taking care of every last detail and making sure, along with the project managers, to make sure everything goes smoothly. So,
you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because we got a tweet and someone said, was that the Jonas brother?
Part
of your team?
Yes. Well, that's the funny thing, because people were like, what? He's into building houses now? Well, you know, let's not forget, he was a teen star. And he has his gift of music as a young boy. But, you know, now he's a grown man. And he has a family of his own. And he needs to find something that doesn't take him on the road. And so having built a few of his own homes and overseen and got very interested and involved in those projects, he had developed this skill and this really, really great interest in building homes. And so he's you know, gone into business with another builder, and he's helping us and in guiding us along our way. So he's thinking about what his next chapter is. You know, constantly reinventing yourself and having other things in the basket is what creates a long and successful career path.
What's your next chapter, Kathy?
Oh, I don't know. I'm enjoying right now what's happening. And, you know, I'm really loving connecting with so many people that love to cook and love to bake and have questions about that and inspire them and relate to them. I love to teach too. So that for me is this whole process has been so much fun that I could teach someone how to do something different in the kitchen or let them feel less intimidated, you know?
You have such a beautiful vibration. I just feel it. It's so good. Feel that you're in such a good place and space right now. So I just enjoy it. I could feel it.
Thank you.
You're like on tour right now with Indulge. So where are you off to next?
Yes. So right now I just came back from Baltimore today, and I am in the local area, but then I'm headed down to Florida next week.
I'm securing some
dates down in Florida. Oh, are you in Florida? I thought you were in California.
The studio's in L.A., but I'm in Miami. I'm spicy.
Oh, cool. So I might be coming. I'm planning to come down to Serendipity over on Lincoln Road.
Get out. You know, have you been to Serendipity at the Boca Raton Resort?
No, I haven't been to that one yet.
Okay, I'm going to get
you.
After the show, I'm going to call you with my number after the show. I'm going to put you in touch with the lady there, because that I love the Boca Resort, and they have the Serendipity.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe we could set something up for you.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Well, that's what I'm working on right now, and we're trying to get some other dates secured to be down. I think I'm going to be down there maybe the second or third week of October. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm gonna call you after the show.
Okay,
and I'm
great.
Gonna give you that information.
Awesome.
But absolutely, because I just love it. So you're just on tour. You're in a beautiful space in life. Indulge is the book, And everyone, what I'm going to tell you, don't just indulge in the desserts, but indulge in life. Desserts are a reason
exactly.
for living.
Exactly.
Desserts are a reason for living. And Kathy Wakeli has done it in her book, Indulge. You have 75 delectable sweet treats. Get the book now. Kathy, it's been a pleasure having you on Max and Friends.
Thank you. Thank you, Max. It's been great to talk to you.
You can come back anytime you want. And before we let you go, what is a favorite quote that you live by?
Well, since we talked about fathers, there's two. And when you asked me earlier, there was one that my father used to say all the time, and it was, "I may speak with an accent, but I don't think with one."
I love
you know.
What
that was
your
one, but
name?
Then
we have to say his name.
My father was Anthony Pieri.
Antonio Pieri, sempre viva.
Yes, yes.
How beautiful!
And then there's one that I love. All it's just inspiring, and it just keeps me centered all the time. And I believe it's Buddha. I'm not sure, so don't quote me for 100%. But it's a candle can light thousands without. Taking away from its light. One candle can light thousands
That's
without
Buddha.
Taking away
Many
from its light.
Can be
yes.
from one. That's Buddha.
Exactly.
Many candles can
yeah.
be lit from one. And mine is follow yes. your passion. Continue to follow your passion because it's going to lead you to your purpose. And you're there.
Exactly.
You're in the flow.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see you in Florida
Thank you.
For sure.
Okay. Excellent.
It's been a pleasure having you on. Everyone, stay tuned to Max and Friends, Ash Beckham. Remember, hard equals hard, and her whole YouTube TEDx talk. Well, she's coming here because she just did one yesterday about acceptance. Kathy, I love having you on the show. I'm going to talk to you after.
Thank you. Okay,
and
thanks a lot, Max.
Have a beautiful night. Talk to you soon. Everyone, Kathy's not one, but naughty girls need love too. Hit it. And when we're back, Ash Beckham.
Maybe, just maybe. Naughty girls need love too.
This is Max and Friends. That was Samantha Fox. Naughty girls need love too. Then came you. She's not a naughty girl. She's a friend to the show and a dear friend of mine, the one and only Ash Beckham. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Max. How are you?
I am so excited. I'm great. I'm so excited for you. You did your second TEDx Boulder talk yesterday on acceptance. How did it go?
It was great. It really, it felt good. I was nervous, obviously. I mean, I feel like anytime you put yourself out there, you don't really know how it's going to land, but it was good. It was a message that I feel like needed to be out there, and it was an incredibly supportive audience. So I feel like they definitely, when I put out there, they gave right back to me. So it felt good.
Absolutely. You are so in the flow, Ash. I text you. I'm like, girl, you're in the flow.
Exactly.
Of course, it's with you. Now, from your first TEDx talk, you have over like 12 million hits. You've been to Harvard. You've been literally all over this country on a speaking engagement. What advice do you give to people listening tonight who are like, Ash, I still can't come out of my closet?
I mean, you know, I think that's a personal journey. I think that, you know, the cliche is it's a marathon, not a sprint. I mean, I think people do it when the time is right, but I think you don't necessarily do it because it's easy. You do it because you finally get to the point that that is how you have to live your truth and live authentically. And everybody knows when that time is right. I think it's important to set up, you know, your safety net, whatever that's going to look like, and make sure you have support, but also know that any of those closets that any of us are coming out of, you're just not doing it alone. Like, you know, there's so many people out there that are going to have the response of me too. And that just feels so good when people do it. So I would just say anybody that's still struggling, when, you know, when you're going to make that step, you just know that you're not alone.
Yeah, no, so true, and you're not alone. And if you need a friend, tweet me at Max Tucci. I will
absolutely
walk you through it.
Absolutely. The words of inspiration just come from you.
Well, you know what? It's when I, you know, here's the thing. Once we're all in this flow of really authentically helping people get to a higher vibration in life, I just think that all of a sudden the divine, the universe, whatever people want to call it, just comes through you and speaks through you. And that's what's happening with you now. I witness it over and over. Every time, you know, we text or I see you, I just feel that, like, your purpose is so huge on this earth. And I just see it, like, happening literally now every day. You know, we're following TEDx Boulder, and you're just like, just to see you and to have your words that formulate in you and then you speak them just are so concrete and they resonate so deeply. Did you think you were going to be this inspirational speaker?
Oh, no. You know, that was never really the goal or the thought behind it. I just, it felt like, you know, the universe gave me an opportunity and, you know, it was time to get the message out. And again, like, I didn't really know how it was going to be received or what people were going to think about it. But, you know, there's this, everybody has this feed or, you know, multiple feeds. But the first time you do it, I'm sure you went through the same thing. Like, there's something inside of you that has to come out, you know, and I didn't, you know, there's a selfish part of me that did it because I needed to say something. And it was never for the views or the recognition or for people to be able to resonate with it, and I would hope that the inspiration, you know, doesn't just come from the words, it comes from getting out there and saying what I have to say, and you know, you can say that same thing on a stage with 2,000 people, or you can say it to 12 million people, or you can say it at your kitchen table at home to your partner or your parents, you know, like, you just have to say it, and when you get to that point, you know, I mean, there's no looking back. Once you start living that path of authenticity, there's kind of no other way to be.
It's so true. And, you know, you practiced that because recently you were questioned on, you know, your advice to people was doing the TEDx talk. I don't want to put the words in your mouth, but you tell us what you said about not doing it for the numbers, basically.
Sure, yeah. That message that you want to get out there, and everybody's got their own message. I mean, I think the first thing is the validation sometimes that you need to hear is that everybody has something worth saying. And it doesn't matter if that's, you know, through your art or through your performance or through just the way you live your life. Like, everybody's voice matters, and this, I keep going back to this thought of just we all have our individual human experience, and none of us are really experts on anything. We're just experts on ourselves. But, you know, we're so often pulled apart and pulled in different directions, and we define ourselves so much with our differences, you know, and that's kind of culturally the world that we live in, and a lot of times what media gives us is these extremes, and that's just not where any of us really exist. You were these very complex beings who have swirling contradictions, and that human experience is what defines who we are and, you know, who we relate to and what that's like. So for me, that it was just getting out what I had to say and hopefully empowering people to get out what they have to say. I certainly don't think anybody, you know, has to
has to, what I have to say isn't necessarily the gospel. It's just, it's my truth. And I just, you know, you think of this world, like what it would be like if everyone could speak their truth and get that out there. And the world that we live in would just be so much kinder and more empathetic if we were able to be vulnerable and share our truth with each other.
I love you for saying that, because that's such the truth. You know, the truth is so, it's just so beautiful. You know, that's really all. It's just so beautiful when we get into that vibration, into that flow of just loving one another and accepting
Absolutely.
One another. And I love that the word acceptance was basically your new TEDx Boulder talk. When are we going to be able to see it online?
You know, that should be out. They do a great job. You know, the TEDx Boulder stop is amazing. It's all volunteer run, and it's people that really believe in the vision of getting these universal truths out. And there's so many different, you know, words. I did acceptance, and, you know, it was like acceptance and duality, and other people mm-hmm. doing risk and shame and everything else. And everybody has their word to get out there. And the staff believes in this universal truth for sure. So they're real quick on getting them out. Their goal is to get the first one. There's 12 of us that spoke last night, and I mean, any of them are more than worth a click. I mean, you're going to walk away. All of them make you think. So they're going to do the first one is supposed to be out in a week, so a week from tomorrow, and then they're going to release one about every 2 days. So they'll have within 3 weeks, they'll have all 12 of them out. You know, full post production. It's going to be really great. So I don't have the info on. I'm when mine is, obviously you'll be on my initial hit list of people when it gets out, but you know, just keep checking Boulder TEDx. Boulder TEDx.
And you all know that
TEDx,
the minute
Boulder.
That I get it. Yeah, the minute that I get it, it's gonna be blown up on Twitter, y'all, so don't even worry.
Absolutely.
And Twitter-holic.
And I feel like you and I'll have so much to say about it, you know, like to throw down and we had that conversation before kind of on this duality, and that you have to give yourself permission to take the good with the bad and the easy with the hard and the stuff that you don't understand, like it's okay. None of us have to be, you know, you're not an expert on every LGBTQ issue that existed, and that's not why people come to you. You know, they come to you because you're an expert on being Max, and you want other people to be an expert on being themselves.
Absolutely. And you know what I love saying is live from the heart of yourself. Seek to be whole,
yep.
not perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
seek
if you try to be
whole,
the perfect, I mean, people, nobody buys that. You know, we've all lived in that place in our life where we've tried to be perfect or tried to be what other people thought we were, you know, tried to
and
live someone else's truth.
And it's such a perception.
Yeah.
Such a perception.
Absolutely.
Because
my perfect is not
your perfect, and your perfect is not my perfect. So we're all, just be whole, people. Let's be whole.
Yeah.
But Ash, I'm getting a note like flashing, wrap it up. I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, sure.
But I'm going to have you back on the show, because once that's released, then we'll be able to play it, and then we can really get into the wholeness of being whole and accepting ourselves. So I love you for joining us tonight. I just wanted you to
be here. Oh, absolutely. I love you too, Max.
You have such a great spirit, and it's out there, and we're putting, you know, the more we know, the better we do. So that's important.
Absolutely.
So on that note, I'm going to call you right after the show. I'm going to be in Colorado in a couple weeks, so I'll let you know. I'm going to see you.
I can't wait.
But I'm wrapping this show up before I get fired. No, that's not happening. 7 years later, I'm still here. But thank you, Ash Beckham. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Love you, Max.
Bye, darling. All right, everyone. Bye. Well, I've got to thank Ash Beckham for joining me tonight. Acceptance is her new TEDx Boulder Talk. It'll be up. I'll let you know when. And, of course, to my girl, Kathy Wakaley, for joining me from Real Housewives of New Jersey. The book, Indulge. Go to her website. I'm wrapping up the show. I love you all for listening. We've got great new shows on the way. I got to let you know that I am the People with Max Tucci. The second season is coming out this fall/winter, so stay tuned for that. I love you all. You're all my co-hosts because you all tune in. I love you for tweeting. I love you for listening. Good night and good karma. Take life to the max.